Well, then let's move on to that. In 77, you were wondering what your next move would be. And at the time, Senator Dewey Bartlett was fighting cancer.
Yes, he was. Really, I had come to know Senator Bartlett quite well, and I liked him very much as a person, as I did Senator Bellman as well. In fact, the two of them, three different times, tried to convince me to change parties. They said, we feel we all kind of feel alike about a lot of things. Of course, at that time, the Republican Party was a much more moderate party than it is today, probably in the state. But we became close friends. And so one day, Senator Bartlett called me on the phone, and he said, I know you're trying to make a decision about whether or not you're going to run for re-election or run for the Senate. He said, we need to talk. So he and I got together. He was quite ill, but still hoped to recover well enough to run and thought there could be. But the doctor had just told him, no, what was going to happen. He was not going to be able to do it. So he said, I want you to be the first person to know. Told me, a Democrat, the first person that he told. And he said, so you should prepare. If you want to run for the Senate, in about 2 months, I'm going to announce that I'm not going to run. So you need to have everything in preparation so you can then announce almost immediately that you're going to run, that you've been holding off out of respect for me, which I had been. And I told him, I said, I want you to get well. And if you can run for Senate, I'll run for re-election for governor. But if you can't, then he and I'd had the conversation previously, then I want to run for the Senate. I thought, I don't know if anybody could survive and still remain halfway popular after 8 years as governor. It's a hard, hard job. So he told me that, and he said, I just want you to know you have my blessing, and you're the first person I'm telling. So I will always have a soft spot in my memory for Dewey Bartlett. He was so good to me.
You wonder if the Republican Party knew that he was giving heads up to a Democrat.
Can you imagine that? But that's how much our politics has changed. When he was governor and I was in the legislature, I had handled several bills for him. One to make state deposits in banks have to go out for bid instead of letting the state treasurer, which had been Leo Renner's, put in all the favorite banks. In fact, I was censured by the Democratic caucus in the House by a vote of 75-3. Can you imagine there were 78 Democrats at that time? 75-3 because I had introduced Governor Bartlett's bill. So he and I had really been friends, and Mrs. Bartlett, too. She was wonderful, and she used to visit with me a lot about things.
And I've interviewed her and her daughter, as a matter of fact.
Is that right? I don't even know if they know about Dewey's call to me. And I've told the mayor, Mayor Bartlett knows that story, and then Dewey III became my student at OU. So things run full circle. He was in my government class at OU and was just really an outstanding person. That's a person I hope has a future leadership position in Oklahoma someday. I don't care what party. He's just a sterling person.
In 1978, you announced. And you're still young. You're 37 years old.
Yes.
When are you going to get old here?
Well, it certainly happened. We'll say that.
So then, interesting, in the primary, you faced some big names like Ed Edmondson. He'd represented the 2nd Congressional District for 20 years. His younger brother, J. Howard Edmondson, was governor.
Yes.
Had served the final years of Senator Roberts' term in the Senate.
Right.
It's another one of those things. And your families had been friends.
Oh, Edmondson family, you know, Drew Edmondson and his brother, we're friends. And we always had been. And I think Ed just really sort of got into it without fully thinking that I was definitely committed. I think he maybe had hoped that I wouldn't, but I was too far into it. We kind of became accidental opponents. Sort of like Jim Inhofe and I became accidental opponents. I think we both just sort of happened into it. And then Gene Stipe was in the race, and there were, what, nine others? You probably know better than I. In the first primary, there were something like 11 candidates. It was quite a dirty race. The idea was that the sitting governor, they thought if they could force me into a runoff, they would be able to defeat me.
Well, you labeled Edmondson as too liberal for Oklahoma and called yourself an Oklahoma Democrat.
Yeah, I did, definitely. And he was being funded, being a congressman, and he was well thought of in Washington, rightfully so. He was getting a lot of contributions from big donors out of state. And one of the things I did on one of my ads, I remember one of the contributors was the Seafarers Union of Brooklyn, New York. I ran on the screen. I said, David Boren is getting his money from grassroots Oklahomans. Where is Ed Edmondson getting his money? It ran on the screen, the Seafarers Union, and had some others. And I said, what in the world is the Seafarers Union doing and having an interest in an Oklahoma landlocked race? So that became an issue that we used successfully.
You defeated him by nearly 100,000 votes.
Right.
September of 78. And then you go on to the general election, and your opponent then is?
Robert Combe.
Robert Combe, right.
The president of Oklahoma State.
Right. an issue that stands out in that campaign?
This particular issue, I think that he felt that I had tried to get regents that I had appointed to be against him as president, which really was not true. It was a misunderstanding, really. They used to have a vice president for agriculture, and they downgraded it to a dean. And I jumped on that because I said agriculture is too important to be downgraded. But, you know, later, afterwards it was over, he and Maxine Combe, they were lovely people. They were great leaders at Oklahoma State. It was not a mean campaign. The primary was harder. Gene Stipe was in the primary, too.